Last week, Simon did peace. So that means this week we must be doing patience, I hope. Well, that's what I prepared, so that's what we... Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So if that's the fruit of the Spirit, that tells us that patience must be a personal and individual quality, something in the life of the believer that grows as the believer grows and matures in your faith. It implies if you're a believer, if you're yielding to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, you should be more patient today than you were yesterday or last year. That can be challenging, can't it? Patience should be part of your fabric. It should be who you are. It should be what defines you as a Christian. Oh yes, that guy's really patient. Is that always your experience? Anyone have that wonderful experience of always being patient enough? Oh, no. Okay then. Or do you find yourself, perhaps like the old phrase, you have to learn to be patient. Learn? I want to be patient now. They're angry chickens, apparently, according to the webpage. I don't understand why they're angry chickens, but yes, we want to be patient and we can't be bothered to wait for it, right? We'd like that fruit straight away. So for our first question, we need to work out, what is patience? How can you define it? What does it mean? If we're saying we ought to have patience, what is it? Here's some pictures. Patience, use it before you lose it. When you stop and think about it, that's actually quite clever, isn't it? Use your patience before you lose it altogether. What about this one? Patience is a virtue, it says. And the cat's quite prepared to sit there by the hole for as long as it takes. He's just going to bide his time. Is that patience? Ah, yes, that's an aspect, isn't it? Patient bear. Be ready when you are. I like that picture. Bears, in case you're unaware, they have a reputation, apparently, in the United States and probably other countries too. They're a bit of a pest in national parks where people like to go. People leave food waste, and the bears like to get the food waste and eat it. But they then become aggressive, and they like to take the food if you're not careful. So bears sitting at picnic benches are a warning sign. But he's prepared to wait. He's going to get his food. Here's a picture of patience. That's quite good. Because goodness knows how many cars are backed up there whilst the little family crossed the road. Yeah, that needs patience. I think there's one more. Oh no, we've gone on to the dictionary definition after that. Sorry, I'm now pressing buttons at random. Patience, says the dictionary, is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. Don't know, do you like that definition? I thought that was quite all-inclusive, really. Because sometimes we might accept it, we might not tolerate it very happily. Or sometimes we might get a bit angry or upset about having to wait. But those people waiting for the ducks to cross, they were just sat there accepting it. So patience. Other words for patience. I thought of perhaps endurance sometimes. Steadfastness, which is easier to say than it sounds. Forbearance. In fact, in one version of the Bible, that the fruit of the Spirit was listed as forbearance. But actually, we're not going to see four bears. We are going to see two bears. But we'll come back to that in a second. First of all, patience. One aspect of it. I imagined a small child who knows it's coming up to Christmas. And they're very excited. Has anyone ever been there? They're so excited, I can't wait. And the parent says, no, you'll just have to be patient and wait. Or if you go to the dentist, and you have to sit and wait, and wait, and wait. Or the other week I was at an airport and I was delayed, so instead of just about an hour's wait, I had to wait 5 hours. And airports aren't that exciting a place to sit and wait, really. What does patience mean in that context? What it struck me is it's kind of realising that you can't do anything to change the situation in any of those cases. So what you have to do is to accept it, deal with it as it is, not fret, not get anxious, not turn around and give up or try and do something else. Just hold on in there. And I discovered that the Bible uses that aspect of patience sometimes. There's a Greek word, hypomeno, which means to patiently endure, or literally to live under something, to live with it. And it's usually in the sense of facing trials or pressures that are calling for a steadfast commitment to carry on doing what's right and to maintaining a godly life. That calls for patience. And so our first bear, there he is, the hypomeno, bear up. In other words, to bear up under circumstances and deal with it patiently. It's about your attitude in a situation. That calls for patience. So bear up. But another aspect of patience, picture perhaps that same small child out for a walk with you. You know where you're going, you've got a purpose in mind, you're striding out, you're focused on where you're going to get to. And you keep up a good, constant pace. Children aren't like that, are they? They can't keep up, their legs aren't as long as yours. They can't keep focus on one thing. There's something over here to look at. Or what's that? Or, you know, pick up a stick or 101 different things. So you've then got to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to be patient and wait for them? And you demonstrate your patience by choosing to go at their slower pace, forgoing your bit of speed or your focus for the good of the child. And of course, it's not just about walking, is it? Perhaps you're learning something together in a group situation, perhaps in a home study group. You catch on really quickly, you get it, but other people don't. So how do you be patient in that circumstance? Well, we need to make the active decision to pause, to help them to see it too, to be patient instead of rushing on. It's a similar kind of picture, really. Or maybe you know how someone else around you should act, should be responding to something, but they don't. Instead, they say or do something stupid, which is really annoying, isn't it? And you can choose to criticise or to forbear, to subjugate your own self-good for the good of the other. So there's another Greek word here, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, Mr. Expert there, macrothymio, which means long-suffering or literally long-tempered. And I've not heard the word long-tempered before, but we often talk about being short-tempered, don't we? Well, the Greek word here is talking about being long-tempered, the opposite. Offering love and forgiveness in place of what's really deserved, maybe. Let's just have a look at Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus deals with this situation. And this kind of problem. So Matthew 18, we're going to read from verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. Therefore," says Jesus, "the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' So the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from the heart. It's a story perhaps we've read before and thought about it in the context of forgiveness, but I was just struck by the fact that it's all about being patient as well, isn't it? Jesus originally tells the story in response to Peter saying, look, is 7 times enough to forgive someone who's really annoying me? And Jesus goes, no, 7, no. So many times you forget, 77, 70 times 7, 777,777, you know. Jesus is trying to say, don't count, just keep on being patient with them, even when they mess it up, even when they do stupid things, even when they aren't kind. So, that was our first bear, was about bearing up. The second bear is about bearing with. There's a certain sitcom where the character goes, bear with, have you seen that? Anyway, let's not stop at that point for too long. Yes, bear with fellow Christians. You may remember the old T-shirt slogan. It says, please be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. I probably should have one of those. But you know, we often look at other people and think, why aren't they more patient? Why aren't they showing this? If it's true of everyone else you look around, you think they need to be more patient. Do you know what? Chances are it's probably true of you as well. We need to learn to bear with one another. Well, so there's two aspects of patience, bearing up under pressure and bearing with one another in love. If that is patience, what's the result of acting in this way? Philippians chapter 4, let's just flip forward to there. See what Paul's experience was of bearing up. So Philippians 4, verse 10 down to verse 13. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And it seems to me what Paul's describing there is specifically, you know, about having enough to eat and so forth. But he's talking about bearing up under all circumstances, isn't he? And he says, yeah, I've learnt the secret. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do it in his strength. And as we work at patience, we learn to be content in all circumstances, to be able to bear up. What about bearing with? If you turn over a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's a whole series of instructions to the church on how to live together. And if we look at verse 11 and down to 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, he says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, to warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. And you get this picture, don't you, of a church that's working properly, loving one another, encouraging one another, trying to build one another up, and being patient with everyone. That's a great picture. So those are just some of the results of patience. What's the opposite of patience? Well, impatience, it occurred to me, is probably the right word. And what does that lead to? When you fail to bear up under a situation, when you're going through some difficulties, facing pressure, if you become impatient, if you start fretting about the situation, it leads to stress, doesn't it? Your stress. It leads to worry that actually is pointless and ineffective, doesn't do anything to change the situation. There's a risk that you may crumble under the pressure of it and not continue to live God's way. Impatience is not good. Or bearing with somebody, instead of bearing with someone's weaknesses, someone else who's not perhaps catching on as quickly as you have or acting in a way you think they should. If you don't bear with them, there's a risk the other person is going to become disheartened, discouraged, maybe deflected from their spiritual walk because of your attitude. That's quite worrying, isn't it, when you stop and think. The result of your impatience could be pretty serious. It's a lose-lose outcome, really. Everybody ends up worse off. So patience, bearing with, bearing up. What I'm going to do next, I'm going to test your patience, because I'm going to ask you to help me look through some scriptures. What else does the Bible have to say about patience? I've got a list that we're going to come to next, and I'd like someone to read each of the passages out, and then I want you to tell me, do you think this is talking about bearing up? Or this is about bearing with? Or is this something different altogether? Perhaps there's another category that I haven't thought of yet. So, please don't be shy, and please speak up well, because we are being recorded for posterity. So here's a list. Who's going to find for me? Proverbs 14, verse 29. You'll quickly notice some of the passages are longer. So if you want to read a shorter passage, get in quick.
14, verse 29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly.
So patience is great understanding, and tempers lead to folly. All right, and is that bearing with or bearing up?
Bearing with.
Yes, I think that's good. Thank you. Okay, what does Proverbs 15:18 say to us?
Tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel.
And which category would you put that in?
Bearing up or what?
Bearing up or bearing with? Bearing with, I think, yes.
Bearing with, yeah.
And when you hear it spelled out like that, which kind of person would you like to be? Someone who stirs up a conflict or someone who calms a quarrel? You know, it's like obvious, isn't it? But it takes patience. It takes this fruit to develop and to grow in us. Okay, thank you. What have we got next? I've reordered my list, so that's going to mess me up, isn't it? Romans 12, 9 to 13, please. Thank you, yeah.
That you love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. When God's children are in need, be the ones to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodgings for the night.
Thank you. So which category? With or up? It's kind of a tricky one because it could be.
I started with, I think. And then
yeah.
I don't know what other people think.
Thoughts? It's talking about living together, isn't it,
and
getting on together, so it's with. But then it also says about being patient in affliction, so it's kind of bearing up as well, isn't it, that one? Okay, very good, thank you. Where are we down to? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that's a very easy one, which you probably can quote without too much thought.
Go on, Jerry. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud.
That's bearing with each other, isn't it? Yeah. As a lot of these are, but it's good to remind ourselves that this is the word patient, and, you know, the study of patience, I'm not sure I've ever heard before, but as I went through and just found all these references, it's like, actually, this is quite a common theme through an awful lot of the Bible, and I've picked out some references here, but I'm sure you can find more if you go back and search further. Okay, thank you. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7.
All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So that when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit and salvation. When God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. But as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort.
Thank you.
So that's talking about bearing up, I think, under sufferings. And this phrase, patient endurance, we'll see again in some of the other passages there. Patience and endurance and bearing up under sufferings. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, just over a few pages.
We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of the whole passage just keeps going and going and going. He is talking about more and more examples, but we've covered the patient part there. What's he talking about, his patience in that context, do you think? It is primarily about bearing up, isn't it? And if anyone knew what suffering was, it was Paul, wasn't it? It's just a small part of his catalogue there. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. He encourages his listeners to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you find that easy? I mean, the answer's in there. It says bearing with, so we've already answered that part of it. Why is that not always easy to do? I told you I was going to try your patience. I'm asking you the questions now, so why is it not easy to bear with people sometimes?
We want them to be like ourselves, and they're not.
And they're not, that's right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. So I'm normal, but no one else is, yeah. It's the kind of thought, isn't it? Yeah.
That's just what I was going to say.
You were going to say the same thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it strikes me that although we, you know, when we stop and think about it, we can analyse the situation and we can say, yes, that's true. It's not something that's unique to us here, clearly, because Paul keeps telling them, you know, you've got to learn to be patient and bear with one another in love. It's a universal problem with the universal remedy of the fruit of the Spirit being patience. Okay, let's look at Colossians 3.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Thank you, Paul. Yes. Similar to the passage we just had, isn't it? Talking about bearing with one another. And expanding it and linking it back to the parable that Jesus told about forgiving one another, whatever grievances you may have against one another. Sometimes you might feel you've got a really legitimate grievance against someone. Do you know what they did? Do you know what they did? Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, says Paul. Says God, because he's speaking to us through his word, isn't he? It's also struck me, as Simon was preaching last week on peace, he used a lot of the passages that I was thinking of as well. And that's no coincidence either, because although we're taking the fruit of the Spirit and spreading it over a whole series, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's one thing. There's lots of different aspects and angles to it and different characteristics, if you like. But it's the same thing we're talking about. And therefore, the fact that we use a lot of the same passages is not accidental or coincidental. We're moving down the list well. 1 Thessalonians 5.
Thank you, Richard. And we urge you, brothers, all those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, in fact, verse 15 carries on, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So, yeah. Okay. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Jeremy, you did a series in Timothy, so... what does it say? I'll let you look it up first.
Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
That's a good summary, actually, isn't it? Yes. And you need great patience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We all do, don't we? Because we live together in a... I was going to say a community, that's not quite the right word, but in a Christian fellowship, we are living together, and we do need great patience with one another. That's the way it is. James 5, here's a bit more about patience. James 5, verse 7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. What sort of patience was he talking about there, do you think? Are we bearing with or are we bearing up? Up? A with? Oh, controversy. I think it's primarily about... he's talking about the face of suffering, I guess, isn't it? But he also is talking about not grumbling against each other, so there's an aspect of each. Be patient until the Lord's coming. Is that a slightly different nuance on the word patience, do you think? We need to keep waiting patiently for the Lord to come again. So finally, we move to Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 9. Can someone read that for us, please?
I'm John, your brother. In Jesus, we have partners in suffering and in the kingdom and in patient endurance. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and speaking about Jesus.
Thank you.
So, bearing up, I think, patient endurance, companion in the suffering. It's not a pleasant job description, that one, is it? But it's because he was speaking about Jesus that he was called to show this patience. And finally, Revelation 14, verse 12, then. That's just for that one.
This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus.
Yeah, Brian. So patient endurance again. This phrase seems to occur quite a lot. In alongside patient, you get this endurance idea. And it's because, you know, Jesus says, doesn't he, in this world you will have suffering, you will have trouble, and you need to endure under it, to be patient through it. Well, that's a very quick zip through some of the passages that talk about patience. Just hopefully enough to give you a flavour, the fact that this is an important topic. This is a theme that's throughout the Bible. And there's these two different aspects of bearing up under pressure and bearing with one another in love. So finally, we're going to just think about the patience of God, and that's going to bring us back to the point of communion. So first of all, Romans 2. I shall read these to you. I'll save you turning it up necessarily, but feel free to follow on if you wish. In Romans 2, which again we've studied in the last couple of months, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, how do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" So God is patient towards us because he wants to lead us towards repentance. He knows what we're like, and yet he is patient with us. A little bit further on in Romans 9. We're breaking into the middle of one of Paul's many lengthy arguments, so I am reading it a bit out of context. But he says, "What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us?" In other words, he's saying, we're the objects of God's wrath because of the way that we live. But God chose to be patient with us to make known the riches of his glory. God's quite patient, isn't he? And he wants us to know his glory. And finally here, 2 Peter chapter 3. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends," says Peter. "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And down to verse 14. "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him." Our Lord's patience means salvation for us. That's the outcome of God choosing to be patient. And we need to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And I guess as we come to the communion table, that we are encouraged to examine ourselves, to see if there's any fault or spot or blame in our lives that we need to confess before him. We need to be at peace with our loving Heavenly Father. So God is patient. God models this for us. And so does the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he was bearing with his disciples. When you read through the Gospels, you find so many instances where the disciples didn't get it. They didn't quite latch on to what he was trying to explain. They fell asleep on the night he was betrayed, and he was patient with them. After the resurrection, they didn't understand. Those two people on the Emmaus Road, and he had to say, "Look, how slow you are to understand. Look, this is what it means." He was patient. He kept forgiving. He kept looking out for them. He was bearing with his disciples. He bears with us. But more particularly, as we turn to communion, was the patient enduring under suffering. Isaiah 53, verse 7, which I should have had a little finger in the mark just to remind me precisely. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And when you read through the account in Matthew 26 and 27, you see how the Lord Jesus was patient under the suffering. He allowed himself to be arrested, to be struck, to be spat upon, so many other horrendous things that were done to him, and then to be crucified on the cross. But he was patient. He bore up under it. He didn't exercise his divine authority on power and just walk away or destroy them all. He patiently endured the cross, scorning its shame, as we find in Hebrews 2. So as we come to take communion together, as we share bread and wine, we're not just doing this again because it's the right thing to do. We're doing this to remember the Lord Jesus, who has demonstrated the patience of God and who bore suffering and death for us because he loves us so much.